Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have no doubt that all of you, or at least the adults here this morning, are well aware of the price inflation that has been raging across the country for the past year or so. Actually, I haven't really gone and checked how long it has been that we've been facing this rather extreme inflation. And even if you're not familiar with the reports of the exact percentage or exact numbers of to measure that inflation year over year or month over month, I'm sure you've undoubtedly noticed, at least when you've gone to the store, that almost everything seems to be way more expensive than it was just a year or so ago. And some things seem to be many times more expensive than they were just a year or so ago. For example, the cost of gasoline is way higher than just a couple of short years ago. If you've ever, in the past year or so, had to do some work on your home or needed some other construction project done, I'm sure you've noticed that the cost of lumber and other building materials has skyrocketed, and therefore also raising the total cost of whatever project you're planning. Not to mention the cost of eggs, the cost of beef, and so many other things. And sadly, we know that even if the price does eventually come down a little bit in the future, in the long run, we are destined to see those costs continue to go up over time. However, when it comes to the cost of sin, no inflation is possible. That's because sin always demands the ultimate penalty, which is eternal death in hell. The price of sin simply can't go any higher than that. And of course, it also can't go any lower either. That's one of God's unchangeable laws. As Moses warned some of the Israelites in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, he said, "Know that your sin will find you out if you commit sin." The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 in the New Testament, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. To be sure, whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Indeed, the one who sows for his own sinful flesh will reap destruction from the sinful flesh." And the Apostle Paul wrote more succinctly in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." There's only one way that we can avoid paying that price for sin. There's no such thing as a discount in the sin market, but there is, by God's grace, a free giveaway program. Jesus has paid the full price for us by his death on the cross. And so, in that same passage, Romans 6, verse 23, after assuring us that the wages of sin is death, the Apostle Paul goes right on to say, "But the undeserved gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So then, if we want to sign up with Jesus our Savior, we can forget about having to pay the wages of sin by suffering eternal death and punishment in hell. However, before we get the idea that being a Christian makes everything scot-free, Jesus, in our gospel reading for today, warns us that there is still a price tag on discipleship, on following Jesus in this life. And that cost, he warns, can skyrocket at any time. It can be so inflated that even the recent prices for gas and for groceries will seem like a flat tire by comparison to that inflated cost. And that's one of the big problems for Christians. When inflation hits in this aspect of spiritual cost of discipleship, many Christians are tempted simply to default on the payments. They seem to think that the wages of sin are cheaper than they actually are. And to some extent, that's going on all throughout the Christian church today. People are staying away from the Christian church in droves, or they're looking for a cheaper kind of discipleship. So the words from Jesus today are very timely for us. Jesus' words suggest that what to do. It gives us an idea about what to do about these rising costs of Christianity as we see it costing, in a sense, more and more to be a follower of Jesus in our world today. We're not simply just talking about rising costs in the church's budget as the costs of overhead, of utilities, of electricity and heat increase. We're talking about the cost of everything that it takes to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus says that the main reason for what seems to be the rising costs of being a Christian is that many people simply don't read the price tag correctly to begin with. Jesus says that so many people are like a man who starts to build a tower or really any building without first figuring out just how much the construction will cost when it's all said and done. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to start to build a new home for yourself and then to have that home half built and then run out of money and not be able to complete that construction project? Or to use another picture, Jesus says that it can be suicide for a general to go into battle without bothering to read the intelligence reports about the enemy forces and to see whether he is actually able to win in that battle with the forces he has. And so from God's perspective, we can imagine that the Christian church must often look like a ghost town to God as he sees the thousands upon thousands of unfinished buildings dotting the landscape, which is the lives of people who have fallen away from faith in Jesus. It must seem to God like the melancholy scene that tourists still visit at Pearl Harbor when they see the tragic results of a surprise attack and of military unpreparedness. The story of the church shows that only too few truly count the cost of the enemy, or truly count the cost of following Jesus, or the number of those enemy forces for deciding whether to build a life of faith or whether to go into battle against the enemies of the spiritual darkness of the devil and sin and the sinful world around us. And then without having counted that cost, all of a sudden we find ourselves on the verge of bankruptcy or on the verge of defeat because of the unforeseen costs that we did not anticipate going in. And so it turns out that something that is free can still cost quite a lot in the end. For example, it doesn't cost a thing to be baptized and to become one of Jesus' followers. But after we're baptized, then the costs begin to rise. Someone can give you a brand new home for free, but in order to keep that home, you have to pay the taxes, you have to pay the utilities, you have to pay for upkeep and maintenance. So being a disciple of Jesus, as Jesus warns today in our reading, may at times end up costing a wife or a husband or child or parent or food or clothing or health or even life itself. Some get by with less cost, but others do have to pay a high cost indeed for their faith in Jesus. We need to be prepared, Jesus says, to pay the highest cost possible. In Romans 6:23, the Apostle Paul says, "The undeserved gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that makes it sound like there is no cost at all. But eternal life isn't just some ghostly experience after we are dead. Eternal life begins here and now, just as soon as we belong to Jesus through faith in Him as our Savior. It's a different kind of life. It's a life lived not just in, but lived for eternity. And because only God knows what eternity is like, only He can tell us how to get ready for eternity. And that's where the cost comes in. Jesus summed it up well in His description of His own life and His own mission. He said, "The Son of Man," referring to Himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." So we see Jesus teaching us that eternal life is a life of service, even if it ends up leading to the cross. There's nothing relaxing or easy about this life of discipleship, of following Jesus as our Savior. You may have heard of the early 20th century German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship, and not long after writing that book, he was executed by Hitler's henchmen in Nazi Germany. He was ready to pay the ultimate price for following Jesus. And there have been many times as we learn about the history of the Christian church over the last 2,000 years and the history of God's people for thousands of years before Jesus came to this earth in the Old Testament, we see many times of severe persecution of believers in God throughout the history of the world. Those are times when the cost of discipleship goes way up. One big problem in the church today is that very many people have been coaxed, persuaded, lured, and wheedled, and begged into joining the church with the idea that it's one big freeload, that everything is free and that it's easy and God will give us everything we want. They've never been confronted with having to look the whole matter squarely in the face to see what the actual cost could be. In previous eras, think about perhaps the 1950s in America, when virtually everyone in polite society was expected to be a Christian, to be a member of a Christian church. Well, at that period in time, we can imagine that the cost of discipleship was relatively low by comparison to other periods in history. Just also maybe similar to the difference between the price of groceries at that time compared to the price of groceries at the store today. It was relatively easy to be a Christian then, although of course certainly there were still struggles with the temptations of the devil and the sinful world around us and the individual Christian's own sinful nature. Just as the price of groceries and other commodities have gone up exponentially since that time, so also the price of following Jesus has also escalated exponentially. It takes real grit and courage to be a follower of Jesus today. It's easier to be a critic or a complainer and to grumble and gripe. Eternal life is too expensive. I don't like the house that I got for free, so I won't keep it up. I'll abandon it, half built. Screaming about the price being too expensive is a favorite trick of shoplifters who want to skirt the rules and have things their own way on the cheap. But there's no shoplifting in God's store. Three times in this reading, Jesus says, "Whoever does not do such and such cannot be my disciple." With or without inflation, the price must be paid. There is a cost to following Jesus. Now, as you think about the economy today and commercials and advertisements, you know that one way that companies try to sell us more things, try to get us to buy in spite of the raging inflation around us, is to remind us that the price could indeed go even higher still. And so we better buy now before the price gets any higher than it already is. In a way, Jesus in our gospel reading issues a similar warning. For example, there aren't many instances today where it's necessary to arouse hatred between ourselves and a family member in order to be a follower of Jesus. That did happen, and in some parts of the world still today where there is violent persecution, that still does happen. Jesus warns us here that it could happen again among us in this place. Let's thank God that the price for us today is relatively cheaper than it has been at eras in the past and in other places in the world today. As I look around this morning, I don't see anyone here today who has had to say farewell to all his own possessions in order to be a follower of Jesus. However, that could very well change one day in the future. You and I can never begin to pay the true price for eternal life on our own. Now, Jesus doesn't say anything about that in this text. There's not a whole lot of gospel of good news in this text. Kind of a striking way to end the gospel reading. This is the gospel of our Lord, with a warning that whoever does not do this cannot be Jesus' disciple. A rather harsh gospel. We see elsewhere in the gospel books in the Bible about the fact that Jesus has already paid the full price for us. On the night before Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins with his life's blood and with his innocent suffering and death, in John chapter 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Without me, you can do nothing." And when on the day of his ascension into heaven, he was saying farewell to his disciples, he promised them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That same power comes from God to us today also, because Jesus has promised to give the Holy Spirit richly to whoever asks him. And so that's why the Apostle Paul can tell us in one breath to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians chapter 2. And then in the very next verse, he assures us, it is God who is working in you both to will and to act for the sake of his good pleasure. Without these promises of God, of his grace to us, we might feel that that cost of discipleship, the price of following Jesus, is too great, that it's forever beyond our reach. We can't hope to attain it. But now that we know God's assurance that Jesus has paid the full price for us and gives us his power through the Holy Spirit, now we don't need to be afraid of the cost. We know that we belong to Jesus, no matter what the cost, because God himself will make the price possible. And of course, the most compelling reason for buying, no matter what the cost, is the value of what we are going to buy. Is it worth it? We give our Lord our answer by what we do. I want to share with you an experience of a young man that I met while I was serving in China. He was a citizen of the country of India, studying in China to be a medical doctor. By God's grace, someone had shared with him the good news that Jesus is his Savior from sin, just as Jesus is the whole world's Savior. That Jesus had won salvation for him by his death on the cross. And by God's grace, this young man believed in Jesus as his Savior. Unfortunately, that's when so many of the earthly problems began for him. Because he became a Christian, his very, very passionate Hindu family members refused to continue to assist him with funding for his education. And even though there is freedom of religion officially in India, yet there is also widespread discrimination against Christians in that country. So this young man was also not able to secure a student loan from a bank in India to continue to fund his education as a doctor. And as a foreign student living in China and studying there, he was also not allowed to work to earn money to support his education. So he faced the stark decision of potentially having to give up on his dream of becoming a doctor and becoming a medical missionary, serving people's physical needs and also sharing with them the good news of Jesus as their Savior, or, on the other hand, to give up his faith in Jesus, so that his Hindu parents would continue to support his education. By God's grace, he persisted in his faith in Jesus in spite of that great challenge, even though he had really no idea at one point whether he would be able to continue his medical studies. God graciously provided for the rest of his studies through financial assistance that was raised and provided by fellow Christians in many countries around the world. And even though life still is not easy for this young man as a Christian in a country where there is open and active discrimination against Christians, he will tell you that all of it is worth it for the sake of knowing the grace of Jesus and having the hope of eternal life in heaven through him. May God grant all of us that same determination to follow Jesus no matter what the cost, and to rejoice in his grace and blessing. Amen.